Do younger audiences wish that more film were better at remembering the bright side of young life when adult filmmakers make films they consider relevant to kids, teens, and young adults? That's what you can gain more insight into in this episode of the special five-part edition of The Claim, an audience-focused podcast by the research and strategy company Publicom, developed in collaboration with EFM. In each episode, we invite international industry professionals on stage at Berlinale 2026 to discuss a series of claims about the audience based on insights from audience research from more than 150 films and TV series. In this episode, we are joined by Anne Sulzer, project manager at Kids Regio, and Melika Gose, section manager at Berlinale Generation, and by Fabian Driehorst, animation producer and co-founder at Fabian & Friends. My name is Niels Alberg, and I'm co-hosting with my colleague, Rikke Flodin.
Hi.
Let's hear what Anne, Melika, and Fabian said when we claimed that young audiences find it difficult to relate to dark youth story and might even find emotional realism more interesting than social realism. We hope that you enjoy the claim and the conversation. Today, we are joined by Anne Sulzer, who is project manager of Kids Regio, and by Melika, Melika Gose. I even tried to pronounce you and rehearse it. Sorry about that. Welcome to you, Melika. You are section manager at the Berlinale Generation, and to Fabian Driehorst, who is the animation producer from and co-founder of Fabian and Fred. Welcome to all of you. Thank you so much for wanting to join us. It's been a long festival. Are you tired?
I slept six hours. That's great.
Same. Being a mom, sleeping 6 hours straight is a wellness trip at Berlinale.
Absolutely.
But you're fresh, right?
I'm super fresh. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Let's get started. We are here to discuss a claim about the audience that we consider to be valid, based on more than 5 years of research involving over 50,000 qualitative audience responses, millions of online conversations relevant to film and TV production, and surveys replied by thousands of people. I will now hand over to Rikke, who will present the claim of the day, and last, after that, we'll go into a discussion if you agree or disagree or have other perspectives. So, Rikke, what is the claim of the day?
Well, before diving into the claim, I want to share a quote with you from one of our audience participants coming from a research project we've done, and it goes, "It always revolves around something difficult. Either the parents are getting divorced or someone is about to come out. Why can't it ever just be about how great things can be when you are young?" So this is a quote that we really see sets the tone when we talk to young audiences about European films made for children and young adults. So the claim is, the young audience wish that we would remember the bright side of life. This is a claim that comes from a lot of research projects we've been doing, where we see that coming of age stories very rarely resonates with the young people that they're meant for. Many of these films are created by adults looking back, trying to make the film that they themselves really wanted to have seen when they were in that age. And that's great, but that's also just a perspective that often emphasizes some darker elements of how it was to be young. So difficult topics, hard topics, or something that's a heavy experience of youth. And while those stories tend to resonate really good with older audiences, especially women aged 35 plus, the young audiences they're intended for don't always see themselves reflected in them. Because to them, being young, it's not only a dark thing. It's joyful, it's intense, it's awkward, it's funny, emotionally rich. And that side is rarely given any space in the films that young audiences are presented with. We also see that young audiences disengage when stories feel too literally recognizable. So when settings and language and dilemmas feel overly socially realistic, there's very little room left for imagination or even fascination. This is often where international content then succeeds, because it offers not social realism, but an emotional realism. Young audiences today are deeply drawn to characters, and they don't need those characters to resemble themselves in order for them to engage with them. I remember this 13-year-old Norwegian girl who once told me that the character that she could resonate mostly with was Walter White from Breaking Bad. So let's stay with that for a little while. And encouragingly, we do also see what truly engages children and young audience in the content for them. So they respond to stories that give them room to feel rather than instruct them what to think. They are drawn to narratives that have missions, friendships, warmth, humor, and hope. Stories that take their emotions seriously without overwhelming them with social realism. They're searching for narratives that understand that adolescence is not only a time of crisis, it's a time of possibility. A time of intense feelings, for sure, but also of playfulness and hope. And that emotional clarity combined with more balance and light is often what they see missing in those stories made for them today. So, the claim, the young audience wish we would remember the brighter side of life. So, is that something you can recognize or something you want to push back on? Milika, let's start with you.
Yeah, well, first of all, I would never generally disagree with the young audience, because I think it's absolutely important to listen to them, and everything that you told us is very, very inspiring. And I think we could like spend hours talking about that and then going back to our desks and work on that and see what we can do with that. So I also believe that it's and kind of an interplay of different elements, because I absolutely agree and acknowledge that cinema is considered as a source of entertainment and also something that's fun. And at the same time, it's also a question of the space. Where do I encounter these films? With whom do I talk about them afterwards? Especially when we're talking about the more challenging or difficult films. And I'm talking from the perspective from a festival where being together in the cinema as a specific space and then having conversation afterwards is something that I would add on this experience, especially when it comes to films that are not just, that are also dealing with difficult aspects. And I also would, or maybe I let the other speak and then we can come back to that.
But that's perfect. But thank you for sharing. Fabian, what about you? What's your perspective on this?
I think it resonates very well with me. Also from my co-watching experience with my daughter and her friends. And in comparison to the films that they select and that they are out there, I can see that they can deal with deep stories and conflict, but in the end they need to be entertained all time through. But then if it's well written and well designed, they will watch it like two or three times, and we will have a lot of discussion about the relationship and the conflicts of certain characters. And for some reason I can sense that there are some films, especially animated films, that can provide that. And a lot which are not digging that deep into the subjects, and where it's just not interesting for them. And so, yeah, I think it's very good to listen and to co-watch carefully.
I think that's a good bridge to what we also see, that they really want to have stories that are not necessarily one-to-one a mirror of their own lives, but about more of their own emotions and the feelings. So, and I'm curious to hear, why do you think that emotional realism can travel better than social realism when we talk about young audiences in Europe?
I think because it's more universal. It's more universal. We're talking about wanting stories to cross borders. And I think the young audience already, us here on stage, I would say most of us grew up in a Europe mostly without borders. And then of course, if I see a like social realistic depiction of a German high school, a Dutch high school, a Danish high school, a Polish high school, then it might be a bit harder to like
engage with the character and with the whole setting. But then if you put it on the emotional level, on the story behind, on a friendship, on a first love, that is something that is very universal in every country, that is super universal for every teenager, like coming of age. That, and there are problems, there are challenges. And going back to the initial claim, and not just about the emotional realism, I think as so many things in life, this is about balance. I don't think that if we only had feel-good movies without any challenges, any obstacles, that is the solution, because then the suspense is missing, I guess. And sometimes I want to read a romance novel where I know that in the next chapter everything is solved, because at the moment my brain can't cope with too much suspense. But that is not the only thing that I want to see. It's about the diversity. And then I think, Fabian, you said it's about entertainment. So I think what we're often forgetting is that there can be challenges, there can be hard topics, and I do think, and from conversations I know, that they do want to be taken seriously. Also, already small children, they can deal with death. Pets die, grandparents die, sometimes, unfortunately, parents die, so it's not that they're 8 years old and they don't understand and they can't cope with death in film. But if it's only about death, and if it's super depressing, and if it feels educational, like how do you learn to cope with death, then of course, it's not entertainment anymore, and they do want to be entertained. So it's about the balance.
Yeah, and then I would add to that that as we are talking about cinema, we should not only look at or talk about the topics that are in the films or what maybe someone wants to show young people and make them aware of, but also to the form, how it is presented. What kind of spaces do also the protagonists have to maybe also be part of how the film came about and to experience what's about to be told in the films. If I can maybe make a reference to a film that we have in our program, in the Generation K Plus program this year, it's not a European film, but I mean, talking about from the perspectives, it's the Brazilian, it was our K Plus opening film, the Brazilian documentary A Fabulosa Máquina do Tempo by Elisa Capay. And it's a documentary and it deals with very hard topic like sexism and poverty and death as well, but in a form that the protagonist, they worked in some kind of workshop format with the director, and they experimented what they learned from their past, their family's past, and they invented their future. So they were tackling these topics, but also experimenting and played a lot with imagination of the children that were the protagonists of this film.
That's so interesting, because both of you are talking about balance as this extremely important thing to keep in mind. Fabian, working within animation, where do you think you have an advantage here in regards of this play between social realism and emotional realism and balances?
I think the beauty of the animation is that the world is or has the potential to be universal by itself. And I think what I sense and what I see is there is much more, because there's very strong content out there and the kids are unintentionally comparing already. So some films or TV shows and also books resonate well, even though a girl is the main protagonist or a boy is a main protagonist for both kids or in between, and where in film is the same. So my daughter can watch a Ghibli movie with a male protagonist and enjoys it a lot, but because they are written in a way that are really substantial characters, when it comes to, let's say, more entertaining flat films, it becomes an issue if there's not enough representation there. And so I think in animation, sometimes the solution is just to put animals. But it's not the only solution, because also they have to be really well written and have to deliver some substantial story and conflict and characterization. And there we see huge difference from films that you can compare to with each other.
I think that's something we often see in all the research that we do, that young audience are extremely drawn to characters, but the characters need to feel real and true and authentic, and that comes back to on an emotional basis and not necessarily mirroring themselves completely one-to-one in visuals. In addition to having this more qualitative discussion on audience, we also did a survey to test some of our claims.
That's correct. We actually asked 800 people their opinion. Most of what we spoke about so far is from 150 qualitative studies, but we thought it was interesting to give some of the same questions to 800 people. So I know it's a great podcast to show something on screen, but for those who can't see on the screen now, we tested two different statements within our panel, asked 800 people the two following questions. I agree strongly. I agree that European film should be more fun, versus the other question, I agree strongly that European youth film should be more serious. And it's a pretty clear victory for the fun part. 43% are asking for more fun, 25% say I want it to be more serious. So I couldn't actually help thinking about when I was young, and yes, I was actually young once. There was a guy called Kurt Cobain. He sang a song, and he sang a lot about teen spirit. And I think the most famous statement in that song that almost became like a expression for the entire generation was like, "Here we are now, entertain us." But it was a little bit difficult to not think about that, seeing these numbers. And I wonder if you can put yourself in a professional meeting now, mentally, and then think about how often do you think that when you talk about your projects, you are actually talking about what is entertaining, not the theme, not the character, not the setting, not the plot, but simple, a scrape conversation down to only the entertaining part itself. And how important is it to start the discussion, maybe even about what is basically the most entertaining in this story?
You're the producer, so you start.
Shall I start? Yeah, it's a good question. I think for me it changed also, because I felt much more relevance in this question actually now. And it's also how I see our films that we develop and produce, so that we actually come from the perspective of how do we make them attractive to an audience. And then it's, as you said, it's about the entertainment first, even though that there might be strong conflict, social relevance. But to come with a conflict first, it's also something that it's quite a downer and then very hard to cope with. And you see like, oh, we have all these conflicts already. So to frame it differently, to package differently, to write with a different mindset, I think that's something that becomes really important for us in the upcoming films.
I was actually also thinking about you as a producer. You have to pitch your films, you have to pitch it to funders, you have to pitch it at festivals and so on. Would you say that you will always start with the most entertaining part of a pitch, or would you say you are starting with the most important part of the projects when you're opening your pitch?
I feel like it depends who you speak to.
It might depend on who I'm speaking to. Yeah, that's true. But I think usually I'm not starting with "this is hilarious, watch this," but I'm trying to give a bigger picture and then come to this point. Yeah, so I think usually it's this way around.
But is it also your experience that, for instance, that the funders are more interested in talking about what the message is in the film and what the themes are, rather than going straight to what is important?
I would actually love if they would encourage us and ask these questions to us and push for humor and push for like the rhythm. We see feature films being made and no one is laughing in the audience. And I feel like in animation, we see the animatic first, so we can actually make sure that everything is already set. So it's a missed opportunity to not use this momentum and to work too much with the script, actually, where, again, in animation, we have the advantage that we can record the voices first with the actors and build on that. So if that is there, we can test it with children, with distributors, with everyone on board, and say, okay, if this is actually already funny, we know it will be funny later, and even maybe more funny because we put fantastic animation on top of it.
All right, thank you. We will rush to the next data piece, which is a question we also gave to the survey. 800 people replied to this question. Please rate how much you agree and or disagree with the following statement. I think the plot and setting in European young films are more interesting, not how much I resemble the characters. And here actually 58% agreed to that and only 14% disagreed. So said in another way, people was much more interesting, much more interested in the setting and the story rather than being able to one-to-one see that they can mirror themselves into the characters. So that's the last question we would like to discuss here today. And let's start with you maybe, Anna. Do you think that European films could go further by dialing down a little bit the ambition to create identification in stories and work a bit more with fascination?
Can I ask a question to Reke? Because I'm not sure if I understand the question correct and the answers connected to that, because I feel like in like previous results of researches that you did for the, with the young audience, it was very much about them wanting to getting in contact with the characters. So like in the beginning of the film, really feeling connected to the characters, and then the story was nearly like on second level of interest. And I don't know if I understand this correctly, but this feels like it's the other way around. So
it's a good point, but what the question here is how much they resemble the characters in the visuality.
Ah.
So leading a little bit back to the fact that a 13-year-old girl can see herself the most in Walter White, so a middle-aged man in crisis, and not a 13-year-old Norwegian girl. So it's leading a little bit back to the whole idea of social realism versus emotional realism and the balance that you were also addressing earlier.
I feel it's a little bit going in the direction of what I already said. It's about this, the general topics that you're connecting with as a young person. That could also be a topic that is equally as important for an adult person, because also me being an adult, friendship is still a topic. I just moved to a new city. So how do I find new friends? I don't go to school. I don't go to uni anymore. So who's my new friend? So I think there are, If you put everything on a more meta level and not make it so much about the concrete thing you're telling, but about like what it is about, like philosophically. And I think they are intelligent enough already from a certain age on to be able to connect to that. So yeah, I do agree.
Yeah, and also the question if they're, for example, looking at the character, if it leaves space for me to maybe connect with the character in a way because it shows a complexity. It may be, there are a group of fans, there are different characters in the film that I can try to connect to and maybe change also who am I identifying with. I think it's a difficult question.
It is a difficult question.
Can I
will make it easier now because we are also unfortunately running a little bit out of time. And what will be easier now is that you will have to ask the questions now, because we have invited over these 5 recorded podcasts all guests to come with a question that they would like to give back to the audience. So we're going to collect that and run a new survey. It's going to be published a little bit later. And I would like to invite each of you to come with a question that you will get like to get through to the audience.
So initially my question would have been, what can we as adults do to spark the curiosity of young people to discover different forms of cinema and also different forms of engaging with cinema? And I have no better idea, and I think it's still interesting, but yeah.
So very much to the cinema experience also.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Great question. Thank you.
For me, it would maybe be about what in your eyes is missing in the office that you have, like getting at the moment in cinema, but also on the streamers. So where are the blank spots that we apparently as adults don't see? Because I'm pretty sure they are there.
Also a very good question. Thank you so much. Fabian.
Yeah, I brought a question, but then I realized some of the parts are already answered in your presentation already. But still, I think the kids that that we have around us, they love going to the cinema and watching films and like, let's say, focus on animation. They would mostly go into American films, and I would be very curious to hear from them what's different in the American films than in the European films, and what they would believe or hope that they could see in European films, and where they see also maybe the advantage and the quality of the stories coming from their countries and regions.
Very interesting. Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you. Finally, just thank you so much for joining us today, Anna Schulke, Melika Gose, and Fabian.
Thank you for the invite.
Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
This podcast is a part of a 5-episode series produced in collaboration with EFM. The series will be released shortly after Berlinale on both the EFM platform and our own website. So if you are curious to hear more about industry professionals' response to additional audience claims, please look out for the series once it becomes available.